Well, I want to thank everybody for the good, everything that Brother Wells said. I say amen to. I appreciate the good hospitality and a nice room and a really good food for lunch. And I do ask that you pray for my two little granddaughters. I've got 17 grandchildren. Take every opportunity I get to let everybody know that. I know people are interested and want to know all about it. And two great-grandchildren. But those two little four-year-old twins are identical twins. And found out today they have pneumonia in both lungs. But what will really be great, and they've got, these two have got four sisters. So there's six girls in the house. And we sure don't want the others to, there's two little smaller than them, so we sure don't want them to get it. But I just believe that if everybody will pray here, it'll be, I just got a feeling that it's going to be able to find out that they've had a really strikingly good recovery.
Amen.
I just feel that way. I know people will pray about it.
Amen.
Amen. I sure have appreciated Brother Wells' messages, and I feel like our themes, neither one of us knew what we're going to be preaching on, have gone along good. And I do want to finish the message from last night. I've been talking about truth, understanding truth. In John chapter 18, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? And so we need to have a good understanding of truth. We just scraped the surface of what truth is in these messages that I'm preaching, but we really need to understand truth. We need to understand how important it is. Talked about the source of truth. The person of Jesus Christ. These pages of the Holy Scriptures. And then we closed out last night talking about the significance of truth. It's independent of people's feelings. Amen? And people's so-called findings. Doesn't jeopardize or threaten the truth at all. And it's indispensable as a compass for life. And really, and this is something to think about, truth is indispensable in order to conserve liberty. Jesus said, you know the truth will make you free.
Right.
Just to the degree that we're filled with truth, then we're going to experience freedom and have victory over the devil.
Right.
In our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you to be able to be in your house this evening. Thank you for your word that's been preached. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for its continuance through these many years and staying with the stuff and holding to the truths of your word. And Lord, for the ministry that it has and the radio and for their good, generous spirit in having these Bible conferences and other things that other people can take part in and benefit from. Not just by being guests here, but over the airwaves as well. And we pray that you'll continue to bless this church. Strengthen each and every member and every family here for the work that they have ahead of them. And Lord, we pray that you would fill people with the joy of the Lord. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
And we pray that you'll strengthen this church with a renewed and an increased joy as a result of this conference. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, Pilate had asked that question. He asked the question because I don't think some people think he was being sarcastic when he asked that. I don't know for sure about that, but I know it's a question that many people ask. I think most people, if not all people, ask at some point in their life. So it's important to understand truth. Understanding the source of truth is important, especially any time, but in our day, people really need to understand that there's a lot of fake news. Amen. And it out there, and there's a lot of fake news in the coming out of so-called churches and religious organizations, and it's not the good news of the gospel, but it's fake news. It's a twisting and a perverting of scripture, and one way or another. But tonight I want us to just look at the subject of the stewardship of truth. Truth is something we have to hold on to.
Amen.
We have to hold forth the word of life,
right,
but we have to hold on to the word of life, the word of truth as well.
Amen.
And when we talk about the stewardship of truth, I want to say two things about that tonight. And then a few things under each of those two things. Number one, when we think about the stewardship of truth, we want to think about the reason why the stewardship of truth is so important. And secondly, and this is very important, the responsibility for the stewardship of truth. Not everyone has been given the specific responsibility for the stewardship of truth. That's why understanding the New Testament church is so important.
Yes, sir.
And so we'll look at that responsibility in just a few minutes. But when we think about the reason that the stewardship of truth is important, and this is, we really double down our thoughts about this in our day. Truth needs, this is the first reason. Number one, truth needs to be safeguarded and it needs to be protected.
Amen.
Amen. Now I know that Charles Haddon Spurgeon said the Word of God doesn't need to be caged like a lion, it needs to be turned loose.
Amen.
But we live in a day when we need to safeguard the truth,
sure,
against a lot of things that would compromise truth. We live in a day of unprecedented subversion of truth, and I guess there's no greater example than all of the multiplied revisions and versions and so on and so forth. This multiplicity of so-called Bibles that are coming. There's things that are different are not the same. I mean, this is so basic. Two things that are different are not the same. You know, I drive by churches and I see contemporary service in the morning or traditional service in the morning and, what do they call them, contemporary services at night, and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking both of those cannot be equally pleasing,
right,
to God.
Right.
And they're not.
Right.
I mean, it's not, we're not talking about designer truth. When we live in a day when people are making it up as they go.
Yeah.
And they're starting to do that in independent Baptist churches as well.
Yes.
And people are putting up with it. You know, we need a revival in our day of not putting up with stuff.
Amen.
In churches.
Amen.
Amen. So truth needs to be safeguarded. It needs to be protected because of this day of unprecedented subversion of truth and suppression of truth.
Yes, sir.
The Bible speaks very strongly about those who suppress the truth. In other words, they hold the truth down.
Yes,
and we really live in times like that. So truth needs to be safeguarded. I'll mention two main reasons for that. Number one, because of the indoctrination that's going on wholesale by false prophets and false preachers.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Yes, sir.
They are multiplied legions of false preachers, men and women who are very popular and charismatic and so on, but they have this in common: they are spreading error.
Right.
Amen. And we have to hold strong the truth of the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 4 in verse 1, the Bible says, talk about these false teachers and their teachings and their indoctrination, attempts at indoctrinating people with error. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." And the way we try them is through the Bible. The way to find out how crooked a stick is to lay it alongside a perfectly straight stick. And so John said, Believe not every false spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now that one verse tells us two things about this false teaching and false teachers, false preachers. First thing is how persuasive they are. I mean, they'll lead people out of Baptist churches. They have done it. They are doing it.
Yep.
Because they're so persuasive.
Yes, sir.
I mean, these cults and so on, other so-called churches that are not really scriptural New Testament churches, are filled with former Baptists.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. There's a lot of reasons for that, but one reason for it should cause pastors to do a little reflecting. And here's the thing. If people get hungry enough, they'll eat out of a garbage can. And if a church is not getting good preaching and good teaching, there's going to be people out there with hungry hearts. And somebody's going to come by their door who really seems to have a hold on the Word of God.
Yep.
And really seems to be deep. So churches that have good preaching and good teaching really need to be thankful for that.
Amen.
So they're very persuasive. John said in this verse, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." These false teachers and their teaching is empowered. There is a supernatural dynamic in their preaching and teaching that's not of the Holy Spirit, but it is powerful. And they're very persuasive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "For such are false apostles," verse 11 through 15, "deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." In Mark 13 and 32, Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." That's how persuasive these people can be. So the truth needs to be safeguarded because of the prevalence of powerful false indoctrination by false preachers and prophets. But also because of the influence. So see how these two things go right together. We've got all these false preachers. And to compound the problem and make the safeguarding of the truth so urgent, you have, right along with all these false preachers and their indoctrination in error, you have a culture, we live in a culture, the influence of which militates against truth.
Yes, sir.
We're living in a culture that's influence is at odds with the propagation of truth. Now, our culture is a culture today. We all understand this. We're living in this culture. We live in a culture that is contemptuous of God's Word. They're just contemptuous of it. They have no use for it. First thing I do anymore when I go to a motel is to look and see if there are a Gideon Bible in it. Lots of them there aren't anymore. People do not want the Word of God brought up. That we live in a world that is contemptuous of God's Word. In our society, they're like the devil in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Their attitude is, "Hath God said, hath God said?"
Yep.
They have the attitude of the devil. They have the attitude of Pharaoh. Who is God that I should obey? So God said that? So what?
Yep.
So we live in that kind of a world. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, Peter said that they're always saying, "Where's the promise of his coming?"
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
They say, for since the Father, let me tell you how silly you are. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Where's the promise of His coming? He hasn't come. Nothing's changed. That's probably what they were saying about Noah's prediction of a flood. A flood? What are you talking about? Rain? What's rain? So we live in this kind of a culture that not only is contemptuous of the Word of God, but this rotten culture chokes the Word of God. This busy, busy world. I mean, you look at people today with their cell phones and their gadgets and their iPads and everything else. You go to a restaurant, here's family sitting around. They're clicking on those phones. They're not looking at each other, not talking to each other. They're doing all this. People are running to and fro, and they've never been more busy, and they're just almost spastic. Matthew, and that is a situation that chokes the Word. Amen. People are on their way to church, and they got, Paul said, there are so many voices. Amen. They got their heads in that television set so much of the time. They come and sit in church, if they're among the good ones, 3 hours a week. But the rest of the time they're being bombarded with television and radio and internet and everything under the sun. And that kind of culture chokes the Word. Amen. In Matthew 13 and 22, Jesus said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. That's what our culture does today. It's the kind of culture this is. In Luke 21 and 34, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. I mean, people are so overcharged, trying to get ahead, trying to make a little more money, get a little bit more of a position, get some more stuff. They're overcharged with trying to meet human expectations. Jesus said, take heed, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unaware. People are intoxicated with the spirit of this age. That all of that chokes the Word. Amen. We were talking about the old days yesterday, talking about it, and I told somebody what my father-in-law said one time. He's brought up way out in the country and poor and everything else, and he said, the best thing about the good old days is that they're gone. Now, there's a lot of truth to that. I much prefer indoor plumbing to that outhouse we had. Amen. Amen. And I liked it when they brought electricity out to the house and we didn't have the coal oil lamps. I like that. I prefer it. Amen. For a long time, after other people had air conditioning, we didn't have air conditioning. Amen. That was great. We had a fan. You didn't even have a fan. Brother Hall was one of those people, they were so poor, you know, there was one of those people they talk about that went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, they had to lick other people's fingers. Probably couldn't even afford a dog if a burglar tried to get in. You all just set up your beds and barked, right? But it's this kind of a world that we're living in. But there's a lot of things about back then. You know, I was driving around after I left Michigan and went back to Missouri to start the church there. I drove around to the old neighborhood where we draw. All the houses are still real small. They're all small. Now they build houses, two people live in them, 5,000 square feet. I kid you not. 5,000 square feet in a house for two people. And I thought they had little houses back then because they figured houses were to eat and sleep in. And the kids would be playing until it was too dark to play, and mother would come to the front door and stand on the porch and call us in. Amen. And parents would be out playing. playing softball or something with the neighbors. Amen. And there was plenty of time like that, but not today.
Right.
Not today. And these are things that choke the word, and people are overcharged today in this culture we live in. So truth needs to be, the reason for the stewardship of truth is it needs to be, safeguarded, and it needs to be spoken.
Amen.
Amen. You gotta keep it if you're gonna preach it.
Yeah.
Now there are churches by the thousands across this country that used to preach a good gospel.
Yes, sir.
Preach the truth. They used to speak truth in those churches, but they don't anymore because they didn't safeguard the truth. They weren't careful about what they allowed to be said in their pulpits and in their Sunday school classes.
Amen.
Amen. And they weren't careful about the songs, the music that was sung. You know, I was thinking about that last night after we went home from church, or the night before, about songs. Now, there's a lot of good songs, but like I said, there's some that some of what they say is just not true.
Right.
Here's how important music is. The Bible says, see, music is not to entertain us, amen?
Right.
It's not just to entertain us. Now, I'm entertained by it, I enjoy it, is what I mean.
Sure.
But the Bible says we are to teach one another and admonish one another with spiritual songs and hymns. It's not just to stir up our emotions or our flesh. We're supposed to be teaching it, teaching truth to one another with those songs. The men were talking at lunchtime today, and you've heard this before about these jingles that we heard. You know, some of us heard these things 40, 50 years ago, these little advertising jingles. Still got them in my heads. I mean, when I'm brushing my teeth, I think about one. I don't even know if they've had this toothpaste for years. Brusha, 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 use your new iPana. Brusha, 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 iPana for your teeth. And I never forgot that. I've got a friend who's much older than I, and he's a music leader and a music teacher. And now this is what he said. He said one day he was going to his car, and he said, this music came, as he was opening the car door, this advertising jingle came back to him, "Our legs fit your legs." Advertising women's stockings. They hold you, they, whatever they do. And he said that whole thing came back to him. Music is powerful. But music is to, primary purpose is to convey, communicate truth. Amen. Truth has to be spoken. It needs to be spoken for the sake of sinners. Because of the Great Commission. Haggai said, is the seed still in the barn? Needs to be spoken for the sake of sinners so they'll be convicted of their sin. So they'll be pricked in their heart.
Amen.
Not just to the heart. I'll tell you, when people just get cut to the heart, Stephen preached a great sermon. And the Bible says that his enemies were listening to it, Brother Hall, and as they listened to Stephen preach that sermon, it moved them, but they were only cut to the heart, just to the heart. And they jumped up and gnashed on him with their teeth and shoved him out to a precipice and began to stone him to death because they were just cut to the heart. See, that's the danger. People need to be careful how they hear the Word of God. Because if they don't let it get any farther than their heart, cut them to the heart, and they're not open to God's Spirit and open to the truth, the reception of the truth, That's why that explains some people in local churches, Brother Wells, that are as mean as they can be. They've been sitting in church for 20, 30, 40 years. They've come under conviction, but it's never got On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people heard the truth, and the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. And they cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they got saved.
Amen.
Amen. So truth has to be spoken so that sinners can be convicted of their sin and come to the Savior. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's nothing more important in a church than the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Everything else is to be augmentative, supplemental. Amen. If other things are very important. But the truth needs to be spoken for the sake of saints. For two reasons. Brother Wells has been dealing with the first of these reasons this week. Saints need to be equipped with truth for the sake of their properly conducting spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Amen. You got to have truth. You got to have a lot of good truth. You got to soak up that truth. Ponder that truth. Meditate upon that truth. So you can gird yourself with the belt of truth.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So it needs to be spoken for the sake of saints. So they can also properly... I mean, nobody can do warfare with the devil without truth.
That's right.
Matthew chapter 4, Jesus in the wilderness. Saints need to have the word spoken to them so they can be properly educated with truth for the sake of worship.
Amen.
Spiritual worship. What some people are calling worship today is as far removed from truth as anything could be. They're so irreverent. It's all so man-centered. It's all about me, 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 me. You listen to a lot of these modern songs in churches. Even in Baptist churches, it's all me, me, me. It's not like these old hymns that are God-centered.
Amen.
Amen. People need to have truth so they can not only war against the devil, but worship the Lord properly.
Amen.
In John 4:24, Jesus said, "God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth."
Amen.
Now somebody seems like they're really, boy, look at them, they're really in the spirit, worshiping God in the spirit. But there's not truth in that church. Something's wrong there.
Right. Amen.
Amen. This is what Jesus said. You got to have the two coming together.
Amen.
God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. So those are the two reasons for the stewardship of truth. Has to be safeguarded, has to be spoken.
Amen.
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 Now, secondly, the responsibility for the stewardship of truth. Who's responsible for the stewardship of truth? Who is responsible? Well, there's an individual responsibility. Amen. And churches need to always remember this. And churches like this one understand this, but a lot of places they've lost this somewhere along the way. The church is not a one-man show.
That's right. Amen.
It's not a personal proprietorship. It's not a family franchise.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You know who the church is? The people in the church.
Amen.
You know who is responsible? The people in the church.
That's right.
Every member of a local New Testament church has a personal role. Women have their role, men have their roles.
Yep.
Depending on the gifts they've been given, different people have different roles in the church. The pastor has his role.
Right.
God-given role. But the role of the pastor is not to dictate everything.
Right.
We had a man one time years ago, and he left our church, and he went over to another church. And I'm telling you, you would have thought he was as staunch as could be. He liked to argue the Bible and everything like that. You'd have thought he was so strong. He went to this other church and sat down and talked to the pastor and asked him, you know, they were talking about what that church believed. They were getting ready to join it and everything. And come to find out, the church had a pair of Sunday school teachers in there, a man and woman who'd living together. He just baptized them not long before, and they were just living together. He made them both Sunday school teachers. That's where this man went from our church. The pastor said that their practice in the Lord's Supper amounted to open communion. This fellow, who had been in a closed communion church all of his life, non-open communion, you know, something that's close to being open, it's not closed.
Right.
If it's close to being closed, it's still open. I better stop right there. But anyway, the pastor said, let him know we practice open communion. Here's what he said, Brother Wells. Well, you're the pastor. Well, you're the pastor if that's... In other words, you're in charge of that.
Yeah.
Churches are going to stand accountable to God. It's not all on the pastor.
Yeah.
And many a church has just lost their church because they let their pastor assume he had all the responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So the individual there's an individual responsibility for the stewardship of the truth. We have a responsibility individually to be contending for the truth. In Proverbs 23 and 23, this applies to every individual. It applies to these young people here. Buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
Amen. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. You have an individual responsibility.
Right.
To understand truth.
Amen.
To get more and more knowledge that will develop into wisdom. So we have to, as individuals, make progress in our ability to understand and apprehend truth.
Amen.
Amen. If you're having a problem getting it, like if you listen to Brother Wells and you're just thinking, I'm just not getting that. Well, then you need to get better at getting it. Amen. I didn't quite get what he was talking about. Well, you have to get better at getting it. We have an individual responsibility to apprehend truth. We can't just let it go over our heads and think that's okay. We have to apprehend it and understand it. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth.
Amen.
That's an individual responsibility to understand and apprehend the truth. But you know what goes with that? We have an individual responsibility. The stewardship of truth involves this individually. We have a responsibility to apply the truth.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. We're not coming to church just to fill our heads with a bunch of biblical data.
Amen.
We have a good stewardship of the truth means I'm going to take something out of here with me and see how I can apply this. Where does this need to be applied in my life?
Amen.
You're listening to a sermon. And I know lots of people many people, Christians, that we do that. We do this. Lord, help me to see where this needs applied in my life.
Right.
I need to go home and apply this at work,
Amen.
At school, in the family.
Amen.
We need to be able to give counsel to others. The reason we need to apprehend it and be able to apply it is so we can give good counsel to other people that's based on truth.
There you go.
There's a lot of people that are going to come to us and have questions.
Yes, sir.
And we don't need to just shoot from the lip. We need to understand truth enough to give them good answers and counsels grounded in truth.
Amen.
In Proverbs 22 and in verse 21 says that I might make thee know. This was his desire of his heart, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth that I send for thee. But his prayer is that I be able to make you know the words of truth.
Amen.
Amen. That is a parental responsibility.
Yes, it is.
I'm telling you what, John's dad had some shortcomings, but he and Elizabeth did a pretty good job in raising their boy. Amen.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So there is an individual responsibility. In churches, when people listen to preaching, they need to always think, this is not, I hope they got that. I hope my wife is listening.
Yeah.
You ever heard that?
Yeah.
My wife wasn't here today. She's sick, but I play that on the radio or give her that CD.
Yeah.
Amen. We have an individual responsibility to get this truth. But then here's the thing, and I close with this. I think it's a good way to end out this Bible conference. And again, commendations to the church for having Bible conference, because there's an institutional responsibility for the stewardship of truth. Now, the Lord did not give this responsibility for the stewardship of the truth like this to any of the reformers. He didn't give it to Henry VIII to start the Anglican Church. He didn't give the responsibility for the stewardship of the truth to Martin Luther and the Lutheran Church. He didn't give it to John Calvin or John Knox, so the Presbyterian Church. I mean, they came along way too late for that. Way too late. They didn't have it together anyway. They were just still Catholics. They'd like to have the Catholics go along and straighten up a little bit. They'd stayed right with them. Didn't happen. So they were protesting that. They call them Protestants. Now the Lord did not give the responsibility, thank God for everybody that's speaking truth. Old Bob Jones said, if a dog came into town with a track in its mouth, I'd give it a biscuit. Well, amen. He didn't give the responsibility for the stewardship of the truth to John or Charles Wesley or to George Whitefield. Now, there have been wonderful, wonderful Christian people of great character and still are in those ranks. But you know who the Lord gave the responsibility to? For the stewardship of the truth to the church that he founded and established and instructed and taught discipline to, instructed in discipline, and put the ordinances in, just to.
Amen.
And gave the Great Commission to, and that was his church that he founded on the day of Pentecost. It was in existence, working away. And he introduced it with great... No, did I say he found it on the day of Pentecost? He founded it during his personal ministry. I saw you scrowling. He founded it during his personal ministry and introduced it with great power on the day of Pentecost. Amen. You should have seen Brother Wells' eyebrows come together when I said that. It's an institutional responsibility. Psalm 40 and verse 10 says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation.
Amen.
But now here's the application for us today. 1 Timothy 3 and 15, just this verse and one more and I'm finished. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, there's a big calling for that. There could be a series of sermons on that, Brother Wells. But here's the part I want to get to, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And it still is. Amen. In Jude 3, Jude said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He really wanted to write. He's just admitting it, confessing. When I started writing to you, I just wanted to write about being saved. Amen. The joy of salvation. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him write that. He said, I wanted to write to you of the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, all the saints in that day were already baptized and in a local New Testament church, or they were on their way to be baptized and get... That's right. Amen. See, people would understand a lot about doctrine and the New Testament if they would just keep it in mind that all of the New Testament is written in the context of local church.
That's right.
Every bit of it.
Sure it is.
It's written in the context of the local church. Amen. He was talking to local churches. When he talked about these doctrines, when he talked about the ordinances, he was talking about individual, visible, local churches. Man, people come along and expand on that. Like they say, I'm not a universal church, but they act like they are. They don't get that. A little piece of the puzzle hadn't slid into place yet. Man, appreciate the privilege of being here this week. God bless you.